back with you on a Monday. It's Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Google offices. One Call, That's All studio in downtown Milwaukee. Lots to get into. The Bucks are cooked. The Packers cooked this weekend in the NFL draft, making 11 selections. We got a lot to get into on a Monday. Hunter Vaughn, producer Tiny Hands, back in the Everlade Solar Studios in downtown Madison. Hunter, happy Monday. Good to be back with you. It's been a long week without you, pal. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was a long week with the draft and everything. It was weird not having a show. It felt weird. It threw me off.
Dynamite dropping.
I know.
I'm with you. I mean, we had tons of coverage, wall-to-wall coverage all week surrounding the NFL draft. So really fun to be a part of that. Thursday night late until 11 o'clock. Me and Uncle Homer were just grinding. And, you know, we got to kind of the delusional territory Thursday night where we're just saying stuff and it doesn't make a ton of sense. So that was always fun. But good to be a part of that. Really fun opportunity. And then Saturday morning, Jesse Nelson and I had you on ESPN Wisconsin. We talked to Tarek Saleh, who's Wisconsin's all-time leader in sacks. He was on a bus. He was on a bus participating in a bar crawl Saturday morning. So that was unique. That was different. But otherwise, now, good to be back with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday, beginning at 12:30. Here on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. Let's start with the Bucks because last night was brutal. Already without Giannis and Dame in that game, they then lose Bobby Portis early due to an ejection. We'll get more into that momentarily. Chris Middleton's hobbling around the court like an old man, and the Bucks ultimately just cannot come back against the Indiana Pacers. 126-113, the final in Indiana. So the question we asked last week after the Bucks and Pacers split the two games of Fiserv Forum was, will the Bucks be able to go on the road and win one without Giannis? And then they had to try to win one without Dame last night, and ultimately they were unable to do that. We said after game one, you know, the problems that the Pacers faced in game one aren't going to be the same problems they face the rest of the series. Remember, they missed a million three-point shots in game one. They shoot over 50% from outside, make 22 of them against the Bucks in the 126-113 win. So everything was falling for them from outside. Miles Turner is absolutely money. He finishes with a game-high 29. And I don't know. I just don't know where you go from here. It's a 3-1 series. It seemingly is over. I'm ready to call it over. I think for the second year in a row, the Bucks will be the higher seed in the first round and get bounced in a gentleman's sweep. I think the Bucks probably fall tomorrow at Fiserv, depending on Giannis's availability. He might play, but just some of the verbiage being used around the Giannis injury is concerning, right? Like he can actually run now. Yeah, that's good. It's great. You need your best player to run. So I don't know that we'll see Giannis for the remainder of the series, and I don't know that we'll see Dame Lillard tomorrow either, which does not make me feel great. Bobby Portis only plays 7 minutes yesterday, gets ejected after he gets into a little bit of a scuffle with Nesmith, or Nembhard, excuse me, and man, it's just idiotic. We have the video, right, Hunter, of Bobby and some of the exchange that went down yesterday that led to his ejection. So here's the video. It's underneath the Pacers, or excuse me, the Bucks basket. And they'd kind of just start shoving and pushing. And then we've got a legitimate swing there. And Thanasis kind of comes out and, you know, he could get in trouble for that, either a fine or a suspension for coming off of the bench just to pull Bobby off. It's idiotic. I mean, you have to understand the situation. I love Bobby, right? He's the mayor of Milwaukee. He's a cult hero, cult classic, but you got to understand the situation you're in. You're down your best two players offensively, and Dame and Giannis already. You need to be in this game. You're an incredibly important piece since you've been thrown into the starting lineup without Giannis. And at that point, it just felt like they wouldn't have a chance. But you get to halftime, and they're in that game. But ultimately, push comes to shove. Threes aren't falling. You're not getting buckets. Turnovers galore in the second half. Chris can't do it all by himself. Brooke Lopez finishes with a team-high 27. Chris with 25. And Malik Beasley, who got thrown back into the starting lineup with 20, the only Bucks in double figures yesterday, all three of them 20 or more points. I just don't see how this team wins this series. Obviously, down 3-1, you got to win it in 7. I just don't see a way in which that happens. I'm completely baffled by the situation the Bucks face, because now you have to start thinking about, okay, who's to blame? What do you do? You can't fire the head coach. Doc Rivers is going to be the head coach next year. Obviously, you got Giannis. Do you move on from Dame? I wouldn't be shocked if they do. You need to find somebody to take on the big money, the big dollar sign for Damian Lillard. Chris Middleton, is he a Buck next year? I don't know. I think tomorrow is going to be very indicative of what the future holds for the Milwaukee Bucks, and I don't think it's necessarily very pretty. That game last night was not good, especially in that fourth quarter. I mean, they just got manhandled in the fourth quarter. But they don't have answers for this Pacers team. They didn't in the regular season after that game one win where they held them to 94. And defensively, they're bringing so much pressure. They look so solid in game one. I think, okay, maybe they have turned the page on this Indiana Pacers quote-unquote rivalry. And now three in a row, Pacers come into Fiserv game two. They steal one on the road. And Friday was a mess, right? That overtime loss. Chris Middleton was money, but it just never felt like a game they would win. And it was the same case last night. So I'd view this series, I mean, they might get one tomorrow, but I'd view this series over in six at most. And then you have to start thinking about those questions. What do we do now? Who do we move on from? Who do we get rid of? Are there changes in the front office that need to be made? I mean, it feels like this season was a season, like three seasons worth of drama and chaos, right? The coaching changes and the Damian Lillard trade, and then then Giannis gets injured. Now Dame's injured. You've got three head coaches over the course of this season. It's not over till it's over, but I feel like it's over. Just reading some of the YouTube comments on ESPN Milwaukee, Jalen says, is Dame going to ask out after the season? It wouldn't shock me. But to your point, Jalen, no one is taking Dame's contract. Just do not see it. And you might be right about that. And I, as a Bucks fan, I want to see them run this back one more time with Giannis and Dame, especially those two pieces. I just don't know if that'll happen. I think you have to really look in the mirror and figure out, hey, what is the direction of this franchise? You don't move on from Adrian Griffin for no reason, right? You move on from Adrian Griffin because you have championship expectations, rightfully so. And he was not meeting those, despite being the two seed in the East when he was let go. And you bring in the best available option at that point, Doc Rivers. And I still think that is your best move if you were married to the idea of moving on from Adrian Griffin, who lost the locker room. You have to bring in a guy who's done it at a high level for a long time. And Doc Rivers was the best option. Now, as we've learned about Doc Rivers over the year, he's not great at taking accountability. But I don't really blame him right now. I mean, he's gotten thrown into a crappy situation, and crap got crappier in the postseason when you don't have Giannis, when you don't have Dame Lillard. It's a mess. So I totally get it. But I'm very curious to see what the direction of this team will be after they inevitably lose this series to the Indiana Pacers in the first round. It's disappointing because, like I just said, right, you have championship expectations, rightfully so, for this Bucks team. But this has been a disaster. I mean, it is just a disaster. Right after the All-Star break, they can't. I mean, they went on the nice winning streak right after the All-Star break, but then they start losing to horrible teams, crap teams. Right, the Wizards beat them, the Raptors beat them, and you're thinking, oh boy, you know this might be worse than we thought. And then all of a sudden, you get to the postseason, you win Game One in the fashion you do, and you think, oh, okay, this is go time now. Right, everything that happened in the regular season doesn't matter. Until it does, right? No Giannis, no Dame. You don't have the depth, at least offensively, that maybe you need. And like I said, Chris has been a nice piece offensively. He's been a nice flamethrower for them the last couple games. But it's not enough. It's not enough to beat a good Pacers team. And the Pacers were a team that was middling there in the second half of the year. But they've had their number. And it certainly is going to come to a close here. Go ahead.
I have a feeling that we might see the last game of Brook Lopez as a Milwaukee Buck. I think he's going to be one of the guys,
but as a Buck.
Yeah. He's just showing like he can't keep up with these teams. These young teams are outrunning the Bucks, and they need to figure out a way to get younger and faster, and he's one of the spots. We saw those issues even back in 2021 against the Hawks, where he struggled defensively at times, and they're going to have to try and figure out a way to get faster, and I think he's going to unfortunately be the product of that, and I think Chris Middleton might go because he just can't consistently be available. He's been great these last couple of games, but he's killing himself to do it. And if this was the regular season, I don't think he's playing in these games, and we wouldn't see him for a week and a half after even just last night.
So let me ask you this, Hunter, because I see there's a good chat going on in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream. So David says this, and I tend to agree with most of it. Retool around Giannis and Dame. Middleton, Bobby Portis, and Andre Jackson Jr. are really the only players worth keeping, but that's even debatable. So Middleton is the one where I'm scratching my head, because you're right. I mean, he's been solid in this series, especially offensively. But can you expect that consistently from Chris Middleton? I don't think you can. So do you keep him next season? Is Chris Middleton a part of this team? Because I'm with David. Ideally, you run this back with Giannis and Dame, and then you just bring in some extra pieces, right? Like maybe a Bogdanovich, who was supposed to be on the team 3 years ago. I don't know what you do with Chris Middleton. That one has me scratching my head. I think you're right about Brooke Lopez.
I just think with Chris, like, it's again, I'd rather have two guys who can split up his production, and I know I can count on them every night, instead of Chris, where it's like, in a month, we're maybe going to see him in four, maybe five games. Because he just has to take nights off. Like, it's just, it sucks, but the league is caught up with him fast, and his knees and ankles are just falling apart right in front of us.
Yeah, you're totally right, which is unfortunate because he's a guy that will have his jersey hanging in the rafters of Fiserv Forum. He's a guy that won a title. He was a huge piece of that. But it's disappointing the way this one went down. I mean, it was, you know, the book that I always reference because it has my name in the title and I love me some me. The childhood book, Alexander and the No Good, Very Terrible Bad Day, or whatever the hell it's called. Joshy, do you know the name of that book by chance? I think it's Alexander and the No Good, Very Bad, Terrible Day. This has been the Milwaukee Bucks and the No Good, Very Terrible Bad Year, or whatever the hell the name of the book is. Joshy, you got it?
Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
This is why we keep you around, Joshy. I mean, you are just a splendid at research. That was lightning fast. Well done. Joshy DiMaggio helping us out on the show today. So, yeah, I mean, it has been the no good, one more time, Joshy, no good, terrible, very bad day?
No good, horrible,
horrible,
very bad day.
Okay, no good, horrible, very bad year for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I don't know. I'm ready for it to be over. And then we have to ask the questions, because I think you're going to have not a big splash in regards to the way you had Dame last year, but end of regular season, you got to make some moves. So I don't know. I think as long as you have Giannis on your roster, the championship window is open and the championship expectation should be there. But who is going to be the pieces of random in 24-25? I'm not fully confident it's Damian Lillard. I would like it to be Damian Lillard. I'm not fully confident it's anybody else, right? Outside of maybe Bobby, if he can keep us cool. And that was not cool what happened yesterday. So we will see. Game 5 tomorrow here down the road at Fiserv Forum. Bucks-Pacers. Pacers lead the series 3-1. Could end it tomorrow. Let's move on to happier. Let's talk about the future. The future of the Green Bay Packers. The NFL draft in the books out in Detroit. 775,000 people over the course of 3 days in Detroit. What is it going to look like in Green Bay next year for the NFL draft? It's going to be absolutely bananas. I can't wait, man. My hometown is going to be partying coming up next year when they host the NFL draft up in Green Bay. I mean, when you see the sea of people that were present at the draft in Detroit this past week. Unbelievable, man. I mean, it was frankly ridiculous. Because the NFL draft, don't get me wrong, is awesome, right? It is such a spectacle. It is such a cool event. But to have the amount of people outside of Ford Field and, you know, out in the streets of the D, unbelievable, man.
Whoa, really, Josh? You're the D? You're just dropping that, and you're just going to think we're going to let you just say that. That's not okay.
Are you mad because Dallas is the D, or are you mad because it was kind of
because you were clearly trying to make a sexual joke, and you know you were. You were off of the grin on your face.
I only grinned because Josh, I literally could compare Josh DiMaggio to a groundhog back behind the glass here at the Gruber Law Offices, one called Adsol Studios. This is the first time I've done Mr. Relevant from the studio. And Josh is back there grinding away because he is a hard worker. He's a great dude. We love Josh on this program. But there are computer monitors that are blocking his head. And so the only time I see him is when I say something that catches his ear and he looks, his head kind of pops over the monitor and it's almost like a jack in the box, like a wind up thing. And, it's really throwing me off. So yeah, I said in the D because I saw some branding that said the draft in the D and I just thought that was a nickname for Detroit. But, Josh, did you take that sexual in nature?
Yeah, it sounds like you're trying to do something here, Shrofi. Sounds like you're trying to get something off the ground that maybe doesn't have any legs. You knew what you were doing. You do this enough.
You saw that branding
and you giggled.
I did. Yeah,
like a little child. And now we are going over it on Monday.
Exactly.
What a weekend. Man, I love this new setup of the show, a little three-man weave. This is awesome. Man, this is great. All right, anyway. So let's recap the draft a little bit for the Green Bay Packers. They end up making 11 selections. And look, I know I'm a Brian Gutestan, as we like to call it here at ESPN Wisconsin, Mark Tauscher patented Gutestan. I'm all in on Goody in the draft. Now, I did record an instant reaction Thursday to the Jordan Morgan pick. And I did admittedly say I wasn't in love with it. But after sleeping on it now for multiple days, I get it. I get it. That dude's a tank. And they're treating him as a true left tackle. So they are viewing him as the David Bakhtiari replacement. If he can stay healthy, man, I think it's going to be a great pick for Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. Was really happy with that pick. Friday night, Gabe Neitzel, Joshie, and I were doing the watch-along on ESPN Wisconsin YouTube channels. And I was always fascinated with Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. They brought him in for a top 30 visit. He wreaked some havoc at Texas A&M last year. Double digit tackles for loss, 8 sacks on the season. I mean, he is a downhill bully and he's going to be a huge add to that linebacker room. That's still really thin. I mean, they make 2 additions through the draft, 1 in Cooper. And then at the end of the 3rd round, they pick up Tyron Hopper out of Missouri. That seems like more of a special teams draft pick. Rich Bisaccia cooked a little bit there. But Edgerrin Cooper is a huge, huge get for the Packers. So I'm really happy with that pick. Javon Bullard is viewed as maybe the best safety in this draft. And we know how Goody feels about his Georgia defenders. So really happy with the Javon Bullard pick. And then he gets a little sexy. Oh, Goody got a little sexy in the 3rd round, man. That Marshawn Lloyd pick out of USC. I mean, come on. That, as long as he stops freaking fumbling the football, I think the stat was 1 every 36 carries he was fumbling. So we gotta clean that up a little bit. But my goodness, is this pick unbelievable? I mean, similarly to Bullard, a lot of people view Marshawn Lloyd as the best back, best pro ready back in this draft. And Goody gets him in the middle of the 3rd round. Bill on the YouTube chat on ESPN Milwaukee. Strophy, does this mean your boy, Emmanuel Wilson, is done with the drafting? With the running back Marshawn Lloyd. Yes, it does, Bill. Emmanuel Wilson will either be on the practice squad or on another roster come, when is it, September 10th, I think. But David's right, man. Marshawn Lloyd is gunning for A.J. Dillon's job. That's what that is. This is a running back 2 pick on day 2 of the NFL draft by Goody. He went and got A.J. Dillon's replacement. Because if you look at that A.J. Dillon deal, right? Like, they love him in the community. They love him as an advocate for Green Bay and Door County. They love all the charitable stuff he does. And he seems like a great dude. I got nothing wrong with A.J. Dillon. But A.J. Dillon is a very bad version of Josh Jacobs, right? They're very similar types of backs. So you bring in a guy that can do a ton of stuff, Marshawn Lloyd. This is my favorite pick of the draft. David is 100% right. He's gunning for A.J. Dillon's job. I would imagine that Marshawn Lloyd will be running back 2 come week 1 in Brazil. I think he's going to get used. I think he is going to be awesome for the Packers. So that was a pick I was really, really excited about in the third round. Rest of the draft, just a couple of quick notes. You draft a guy named Morgan in the first round, who we're going to call Captain Morgan. You draft Evan Williams in the fourth round. Love that. The safety out of Oregon. I saw something floating around the internet that Oregon loved him, right? He was their best defender last year. You get him in the fourth round. Jacob Monk, the offensive lineman out of Duke. He is not the offensive lineman out of Duke I wanted the Packers to draft, but he's similar to Graham Barton in terms of he started at multiple positions in college. He's versatile. It's just such a Packers pick in the fifth round of Jacob Monk. That's a great name, too. And then the last two picks, both the seventh round picks, intrigue me for different reasons. Michael Pratt, the quarterback out of Tulane. Tulane was good a couple of years ago, man, and he was leading the show for them. It's just competition, right? I mean, we talk about it all the time, especially in Green Bay. Goody is really good at bringing in competition in multiple rooms. And Pratt is going to push Sean Clifford, a draft pick from a year ago. And we know how Goody feels about his draft picks. And I know he's high on Sean Clifford. I, however, am not high on Sean Clifford. This is a sexy pick to me in the seventh round. I like this flyer on Michael Pratt. And then the last pick of the draft might be the steal of the draft. They might have done it again, Carrington Valentine style, getting Kalen King out of Penn State. It's awesome to see Jaden Reed, obviously went to Michigan State, played against him in the Big Ten, DM'd Kalen King back in December and said, hey, we're going to come get you. And he was right. Seventh round pick, third to last pick of the NFL draft, Kalen King, the quarterback out of Penn State. Only corner the Packers draft this year in the NFL draft in the seventh round. That surprised me because of the run on safeties, right? You get Javon Bullard in the second. You get Evan Williams in the fourth. You get Ketan Oladapa out of Oregon State in the fifth. So run on safeties, but you only draft one true corner in Kalen King, and I think that could be the steal. I'm a big fan of that pick as well out of Penn State. When you get like power five defensive backs, it almost seems like it almost always works out. David on YouTube, Strofe, would you say that Marshawn Lloyd is Aaron Jones with a fumble problem? Heard a comparison between the two players over the weekend, just curious. I haven't watched enough of them to give you an Aaron Jones comparison, but I think he's shifty and he does a lot of things that you're missing with Jones now on the Minnesota Vikings. So I think he just provides something totally different than Jacobs and Dylan do. Now, the thing with Dylan is he is a solid receiving back. I think he's had about 100 receptions in his career with the Packers, and he does that better than Jacobs does. But I think Lloyd can also be a receiving back. But yeah, he's shifty. He's small. He's like compact. I don't know how to phrase. He's like 5'8", 220. Compact. But he's speedy. I love that pick, Marshawn Lloyd. So yeah, let me know in the YouTube chat. ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee. Who's your favorite pick? And don't say Jordan Morgan. Say somebody else. Let's go day two or three. Who's your favorite pick? I think Bullard, Lloyd, and Kalen King are my three front runners for the NFL draft. But I think this furthers the narrative of Brian Gutekunst and how well he cooks, man. We saw it last year in the draft. Obviously, all the impact players that were drafted by Brian Gutekunst last year. I mean, we can just run down the list, right? I mean, everybody, it seemed, was either starting or making an impact towards the end of the year, outside of maybe only the first-round pick, Lucas Van Ness, and, of course, Lou Nichols, who did not make the roster. But it seemed like everybody was chiming in last year. That might be the case again this year. I mean, you have multiple immediate impact guys. I mean, let's just run down some of the lists, right? I mean, you've got three starters, your first three picks. Jordan Morgan's going to be your starting left tackle. Edgerrin Cooper's going to be a starting linebacker next to Quay Walker. And Javon Bullard's going to start at safety opposite of Xavier McKinney. So you've got three starters right off the rip. Marshawn Lloyd is going to play some meaningful snaps in 2024, I would guess, over A.J. Dillon. So you've got your first four picks are all immediate impact guys. And then later in the draft, it's anybody's game. But if what everybody is saying about Kalen King is true, that could be a guy that carves out a role for himself. But an interesting part of the Packers not drafting a cornerback was heard from Matt LaFleur over the weekend, who talked a ton about some of the injury updates and some of the different strategies and thought processes that the Packers had over the weekend. Cornerback was a position that a lot of people thought would be drafted more, right? I mentioned the run on safeties, three safeties for the Packers in the draft, only one corner. I thought they would draft at least two corners. But Matt LaFleur stating essentially that Eric Stokes is good to go. Eric Stokes is back and healthy, and he will be a starter, it sounds like, from Matt LaFleur over the weekend. The other interesting injury news from Matt LaFleur from over the weekend is J.J. Anagbare, the edge rusher, who we thought tore his ACL in the season, apparently only partially tore it, and opted not to get surgery. So he might be ready to go come week one off the edge. And if you've listened to me for a long time, I love Kingsley Anagbare. I love that pick when they drafted him. I love some of the impact he's made the last 2 years for Green Bay. I think he could be a huge piece to this defense. And this defense, very clearly, after seeing what they did in the draft, after seeing what they did in free agency, getting Xavier McKinney, this is a defense led by Jeff Hafley that's going to get downhill, and they're going to come at you freaking fast, man. This is going to be an energetic defense. And we've always talked about the issues under Joe Barry. I mean, you can't stop the run, and when you do, you can't stop the pass. You don't get downhill. You're bringing no pressure to the quarterback. You're only rushing three guys. That's not going to be the case with this Jeff Hafley defense. And for the level of investment, and I understand, not every first-round pick is going to be a hit. I get that. But this is only the second time in Goody's tenure since he took over as general manager in 2018 that, you know, he drafted an offensive player in the first round. And Jordan Morgan, the other one, Jordan Love. That's it. Every other first-round pick he's had has gone defense. And you saw the heavy investment early in round two this year again in defense. And Edron Cooper, the linebacker, and Javon Bullard, the safety. So there was a ton of investment in the starting 11, plus some, for this Packers defense. You have to reap some results now. And things looked a little bit better down the stretch last year under Joe Barry, but this is going to be a little bit different. And I just expect fast-paced bully ball from this Packers defense. It might not look perfect week one against Philly, but come week six, week eight, week 10, I expect this to be a very good defense in the NFL. Maybe not top five, but top 10. I mean, we played no clip more in my time at ESPN Wisconsin then 2 summers ago when Mina Kimes said the Packers should be a top three defense, and they just weren't. I think you have to view it this year again as, hey, this is a defensive cast that needs to play some bully ball, man. I'm excited to see what this defense looks like. That's the thing I'm most excited for in the 2024 season for the Packers.
Doesn't live up to expectations again and they struggle, instead of seeing a coaching change, is there going to be like massive roster turnover and Goody is just like, you know what, maybe we just need different players in, and then we see a bunch of guys leave and they trade guys off, and then there's just a bunch of new players going into the following season then?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good theory. I'm just intrigued by, and to your point, Hunter, I think what they did in the draft this year was both their best player available, quote unquote, thing, and then like the relative athletic score, which I always make fun of Goody for being such a fan of. But how he is, and look, I obviously don't know that these guys are going to work out, and I'll probably get on my draft grades rant here shortly. But on paper, you have two defensive starters that were drafted in the second round, Javon Bullard and Edron Cooper. You know, Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Kenny Clark, Jair Alexander. I'm probably missing some. Eric Stokes, Lucas Van Ness, first-round picks. Guys that have this heavy investment level. I just hope it works. Because my entire life, practically, I haven't been able to trust the Packers' defense, with few exceptions. And this year feels like the year I should be able to. So we will see. We will see. Hunter, what did you make of the Packers' draft? And I don't want you to grade it. I just want you to tell me what you make of it.
Like I said last week, I didn't expect it to be a sexy draft. Like, there weren't going to be a lot of skill position guys. You weren't going to get some big-name wide receiver. It was going to be a lot of interior guys, or, you know, it was going to fill needs. And that's what they did. I felt like it was a reach, though, for Morgan. I understand that there was a drop-off at tackle, but you still maybe could have gone a little further down the board, gotten some more picks that Goody obviously loves. I had him up on the screen, and I was going to ask you about this. So I kept Cooper DeJean on this graphic here with Goody. Yeah. And do you think, would you be feeling the same way about the draft if, let's say, they didn't get Bullard and they didn't take Lloyd and they used those two picks to move up early into the second round to get Cooper DeJean? So you still have... you have both Coopers then, and you have Morgan still, and then those were your first three picks of the Packers draft.
You just wanted to get that in there. Both Coopers. I like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, I just, it's the easiest way instead of going Edrin Cooper, Cooper DeJean.
Both Coopers, Joshy? You like that from Hunter?
I just think he was being judicious with his words.
Judicious.
There it
okay.
is.
Okay. Interesting. All right. To answer your question, Hunter, before Joshy distracts me again. No, I would feel different, yes. And, you know, you and I have actually spent a ton of time over the course of the last few months talking about the running back position. I've been adamant that that was a position I wanted them to address in the first 2 days. And they did, with Marshawn Lloyd. I really wanted Lloyd. I understand why Goody wasn't in love with Cooper DeJean. I don't think he was ever going to pick him. I think it was just the guy that everybody was mocking and guessing would be a Packer. I'm good without Cooper DeJean. Now, would I be happy if it's him rather than Javon Bullard and then you get a different running back later in the draft? I'd still be saying yes. You know, I'm happy because you got a day one starter. Cooper DeJean would have been a day one starter next to Xavier McKinney at safety. And he's versatile, right? I mean, obviously, you know he can play corner. You know what's so weird? No, go ahead, Hunter.
What if that late running back was Isaac Guerrero, a guy that both you and I really liked?
Yeah, no, then I'm probably feeling better. Yeah, I'm with you. And let's say that's in place of Catano Ladapo in the fifth round.
Yeah.
I would be great with that. Yeah, for sure. I'd be happy. But I think I'm happier about Javon Bullard. He's more of a pure safety than Cooper is. And I love the Marshawn Lloyd pick. We already spent enough time on that. So I think Goody did exactly what I was hoping for. Outside of, I thought he would address corner more, but like we've learned, it seems like Eric Stokes is good to go. So I love what Goody did this weekend. I thought he was terrific. Now, again, it is impossible to say, hey, you know, this is a win. This is a great draft. You obviously won't know until these players have the opportunity to get on the field and actually work, right? But you feel really good, especially about those top four, Jordan Morgan, Edrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, Marshawn Lloyd, because you feel like those are guys that will make immediate impact in this youth movement theme that Goody's been using for the last couple of years, or last year into this year. It just feels like it's only going to continue. I love it, man. I love what he did, especially in those first three rounds. Tyron Hopper was the one I don't know a ton about. Like I said earlier, I think that seems like a special teams type draft pick, but maybe he'll develop. I mean, that linebacker room is wide open. So we'll see what happens for the Packers. One note, though. Love what the Packers did in UDFA land. How about Peter Bowden, the Wisconsin long snapper coming to Green Bay? A little competition in the long snapper room, Joshy. I know you're fired up about that, right? Long snapper news?
No.
Whatever, dude.
Dude, I produced ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day every Saturday this fall, and I had no idea he was the long snapper. Like,
really?
I had no idea what the long snapper's name was. And I hung out with Brad Nortman, a former punter, and I had no clue. Like, whatever. You're never going to remember who the long snapper for the Packers is after this conversation.
Brett Goody. I will always remember Brett Goody. Super Bowl champ Brett Goody. Put some respect on his name. I mean, what, Josh?
You don't pronounce the E at the end of his name.
It's Good?
Yes.
Goody.
No.
Just like Brian Gutekunst. Nope. Goody.
Good.
Brett Good.
Yeah.
Put some respect on his name.
Yes.
Got
which
it.
You failed to do.
Brett Good was pretty good.
Shut up, Hunter.
No.
Oh, man. Last thing on the Packers, then we'll get to what Stroff learned. Tyron Hopper from Joseph. Tyron Hopper may make you eat your words. Hopper said he spent time talking to Campbell, Halfley, or Campanelli, excuse me. Campanelli, Halfley, and LaFleur. Goody watched his pro day. He might shock us all. I hope you're right. I hope all these guys just shock us. Anyway, so I was really happy with the draft, not so happy with the Bucks. That's the theme of today's show. You learn something new every day, I learn something new. It's time now for What Stroff Learned as we wrap up the show. I saw a graphic today that made so much sense. And Hunter, as the producer of Wisconsin College Game Day, you will understand where I'm going here. The graphic that is making the rounds is now Jets running back Braylon Allen is the first active player in the NFL to be drafted in 2004. So not only does that make me feel old, but we have spent so much time with Braylon Allen at Wisconsin where everybody's like, hey, did you hear this guy's only 17? Hey, so you're this guy's only 18? Hey, he's 19. He can't even drink yet. And we continue to do this. So now Braylon Allen, the first NFL player to be born in 2004. And that is going to be the new, hey, he's only 17 come this fall when Aaron Rodgers, Braylon Allen, Joe Tippmann and company are suiting up for the New York Jets. Hey, well, Hunter, did you know that Braylon Allen is the first NFL player to be born in 2004?
Oh, it was, see, and that replaced the Jake Ferguson, hey, did you know that's Barry Alvarez's grandson?
absolutely.
What makes this even worse is the fact that going on right now on ESPN Radio is Greeny, and Mike Greenberg is the biggest New York Jets fan in probably all of ESPN. So he's going to talk about it all the time. We can't get away from it.
Yeah, he is. No, you're right. You're right. Braylon Allen, first player born in 2004. I like that fit for him, though, out in New York. Breece Hall and Braylon Allen is a fun 1-2 punch. I think he landed in a good spot, at least for longevity, for Braylon Allen. And that's something I worried about with him, because I really like Braylon. And obviously, when he's healthy, he's terrific. But I'm really excited to see what he's able to do out in New York. Bortolini, Tanner Bortolini, the Badgers interior offensive lineman, goes to Indianapolis, both fourth-round picks. Good for both of them. And I mentioned Peter Bowden goes to the Packers, the long snapper from Wisconsin. Hunter, real quick before we wrap up, I want to give you a Cowboys opportunity as the resident Cowboys okay. fan. Ezekiel Elliott back to the Cowboys. What do you make of it?
I don't care. Dude,
did he just yawn?
Yeah, whatever. That running back room is terrible. Like, he's going to be the starter. And it's just,
yeah, I know.
Oh, it's so bad. This team's just not serious, and Jerry Jones is, oh, we're all in. No, you're not. Stop lying to me. I just hate it.
All right, that's producer Tiny Hand's take. Producer Groundhog, what's your take?
I find it funny that they are paying him two contracts right now from the last one that's still lingering, yeah. which totals up to him being the fourth highest paid running back in the NFL.
Typical Cowboys.
Draw it up.
Typical Cowboys.
Yeah, go get them.
You know the thing about ESPN Wisconsin is we have some really loyal fans who listen to every piece of our content.
Uh-huh.
This is how inside baseball our comment section is now, Joshy and Hunter. David just commented on the ESPN Milwaukee stream and said, time for Strofe to make his pre-show meeting for producing KBN in an hour, LOL. How does he know I have to go to a pre-show meeting?
I don't know.
How does he know it's at 1 o'clock?
I guess KBN talks about their pre-show meetings.
That's wild.
He hacked your Outlook. Hunter.
He might have. Yeah, he might have. All right, we're back with you Wednesday beginning at 12:30. We'll go a little bit longer. We'll get a guest for Wednesday. I just wanted to make sure the setup worked in Milwaukee. We had plenty to react to. Always good to talk a little NFL draft. Man, that means football's coming, man. I mean, it's the end of April. We're going to have OTAs here in a couple of weeks. And we're going to have training camp in July. And before you know it, we will be talking about the Packers in Brazil. And by the way, Matt LaFleur faking enthusiasm for Brazil is something I do want to talk about later in the week. So we'll do that on Wednesday right here on the ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison YouTube channels. If you missed any of the show, you can find it wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand. Just search Mr. Irrelevant. It will be the first result. And of course, you can watch it back for free, commercial free on YouTube. Back with you Wednesday. We'll talk to you then. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Stroh. Peace.